Okay, so when you make ruku, as we said, you hold on your knees, and then these elbows are spread. You do not do it like this. You have to spread them like this, away from your sides, okay? يُجَافِي مُرْفَقَيْهِ عَنْ جَنْبَيْهِ, which means their elbows should be away from his sides. وَيَبْسِطُ ظَهْرَهِ, the back should be straight, so that even if you pour some water on it, it would stay on the back. So it should be very straight. You need to, watch yourself in the mirror or something to get used to doing it right, so that the head and the neck and the back are all together in one straight plane. And you look again down, as we said in the beginning of the prayer. Like so. So as much as you can, you spread your elbows if you are praying in jama'ah, because if you are spreading them and your neighbor is spreading them, then you start hitting into each other, bumping into each other. وَكَانَ يَطْمَئِنُّ فِي رُكُوعِهِ وَيَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ ثَلَاثًا. And he used to have اطمئنان, serenity in his ruku', which means he stays long enough so that he is steady in his ruku'. He doesn't rush it, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ, and go up, but he waits until he is in a steady situation. يَطْمَئِنُّ فِي رُكُوعِ وَيَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ ثَلَاثًا, and he would say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ, exalted is my great Lord, three times. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرُّكْنِ أَنْوَاعًا مِنَ الْأَذْكَارِ وَالْأَدْعِيَةِ, and he used to say also some other kinds of adhkar and supplications. تَارَةً بِهَذَا وَتَارَةً بِهَذَا, sometimes saying this, sometimes saying that. وَكَانَ يَنْهَى عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ, and he used to prohibit reciting any Quran in ruku' or sujood. So it is not allowed, haram, يعني ما يجوز أن واحد يقرأ القرآن في الركوع أو في السجود. It's not allowed. And some scholars try to explain why is this so, because Quran is the book of Allah, the words of Allah, and it's not respectful to say them while you are in a situation of humbleness or lowering your body on the with ruku' or with sujood. You say them when you are standing or sitting, if one cannot stand. وَكَانَ يَنْهَى عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ, and he used to prohibit reading the Quran, ruku' and sujood. The adhkar that you say in ruku', there have been many different forms mentioned in the sunnah, among which is, for example, سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح. سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح, it means like exalted is the Holy One, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the angels and the Spirit. The Spirit is Jibreel, the greatest of the angels. And اللهم لك ركعت وبك أسلم, اللهم لك ركعت وبك أسلمت, وَمَلَكَ رَكَعْتُ وَبِكَ آمَنْتُ. See, when you are, subhanAllah, trying to, when you are not in the situation of ruku', it's hard to remember it. اللهم لك ركعت وبك آمنت وعليك توكلت خشع لك سمعي وبصري, لا خشع لك سمعي وبصري ومخي وعظمي وعصبي. You find them all in the Prophet's prayer described, so you can refer to them there, what has been reported in ruku'. ثم كان يرفع صلبه من الركوع قائلا سمع الله لمن حمده وكان يرفع يديه عند هذا الاعتدال. Then he would raise his body after ruku', saying سمع الله لمن حمده, and raising his hands as he stands up, رافعا يديه. Okay, سمع الله لمن حمده. This is both reported in the Sunnah in Sahih al-Bukhari from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, to say Allahu Akbar and go down for ruku', then سمع الله لمن حمده and stand after ruku'.
شيخ, أنا ما أعرف وقت الإمام بقول سمع الله لمن حمده, فبدأ تقول سمع الله لمن حمده ولا بدأ تقول ربنا لك الحمد والشكر؟
Okay. Okay. في علماء بيقول لك ما بتقول ربنا ما بتقول سمع الله لمن حمده بعد الإمام، لأنه في حديث يقول فإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده قولوا ربنا ولك الحمد. بس علماء آخرين بيقول لك بس هذا ما بينفي إنك تقول سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا لك الحمد، هذه زيادة يعني. فالله أعلم، هذا لعله هذا الأصح، لعله هذا الرأي أصح، لأنه يعني he's asking do we say سمع الله لمن حمده after the imam or we just say ربنا ولك الحمد. And I'm saying that there are two views of the scholars. One of them says based on a hadith which says if the imam says سمع الله لمن حمده you say ربنا ولك الحمد, you say that. Others say that no, you are supposed to repeat whatever the imam says. So he says سمع الله لمن حمده, you say سمع الله لمن حمده, because this is also a praise to Allah, to say Allah listens to the one who praises him, so this is a word of praise. And then you say ربنا ولك الحمد, our Lord praise be to you. So this is Allah A'lam the more correct opinion, and this is the opinion of Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, to say alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, to say سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. And then as we said, you raise your hands as you are saying that سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. ويقول وهو قائم ربنا ولك الحمد. وكان تارة يزيد على ذلك. Sometimes he used to add to that. So instead of saying ربنا ولك الحمد, sometimes he would say اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد. اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد. من السماوات ومن الأرض ومن أما بينهما ومن أما شئت من شيء بعد. أهل الثناء والمجد. لا أهل الثناء والمجد أحق ما قال العبد. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي منعت ولا ينفع ذا اليد منك الجد. There are many things you can add which have been reported in the Sunnah, and again you have to refer to the book on the Prophet's prayer described. And once he heard a man saying Allahumma Rabbana walaka alhamd hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi kama yuhibbu Rabbuna wa yarda. And he لما سمع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رأيت بضعة عشر ملكا يتلقفوا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, which means he said that this is very good to say, and he approved it of it. Allahumma Rabbana walaka alhamd hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Oh our Lord, praise be to you, a great plentiful praise which has blessings in it. وكان تارة يزيد على ذلك ثم يكبر ويهوي ساجدا. After that he says Allahu Akbar and he goes down for sujood. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then he makes takbir and falls to sujood. ويضع يديه على الأرض قبل ركبتيه, and he puts his hands on the ground before his knees. Now this, we know that this is also a point of difference among the scholars. Some say you fall on your knees, some say you fall on your hands, and Allahu A'lam, the correct opinion is to fall on your hands because of the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to not fall down to the ground like a camel, putting your knees before your hands. No, don't fall down like the camel, but put your hands before your knees. That's what the hadith says. وكان يعتمد على كفيه ويبسطهما, and he used to يعني put his weight on his palms and spread them, spread his palms, so does not go like this or like this or like this, but he goes down on his hands, on the palms of his hands when he goes down. وكان يعتمد على كفيه ويبسطهما ويضم أصابعهما ويوجههما قبل القبلة. يعني he put his hands facing the Qibla, that's for sujood. Okay, face with them the Qibla and bring them together, but not like this, which means come close to each other, and not like this, they should be facing the Qibla. That's when he's making sujood. So he makes, puts his weight, first he falls down on his hands, then he makes sujood with his hands facing the direction of Qibla. وكان يجعلهما حذو منكبيه وأحيانا حذو أذنيه. Which means the hands, like when we say takbir, Allahu Akbar, we said you put them to the level of the shoulders or the chest or the level of the ears. Similarly in sujood, when you make sujood, the hands should be the level of the shoulders or the level of the ears, which means like this, either here or here down a little bit. So you cannot do this. For instance, this is wrong and this is wrong. Okay, to bring them down too far or up too far, they should be the level around the neck, a little up, a little down, but that's about it. Like so. وَيُمَكِّنُ أَنْفَهُ وَجَبْهَتَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And he would put also his nose and his forehead strong against, push with them strong against the ground. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمُ. I have been commanded to make sujood on 7 bones. عَلَى الْجَبْهَةِ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ. On the forehead, and he also pointed to his nose, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالْيَدَيْنِ, the two hands. وَالْرُكْبَتَيْنِ, the two knees. And أَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ, the tips of his toes, of the toes. So that's 2, 4, 6, and this is 7. So he counted this as being one thing, the face, the two hands, the two knees, and the two feet. So all of them should be put straight, fast, hard against the ground. And one, it's not correct to make sujood with the forehead alone or with the nose alone. Both of them should be against the ground. كان يقول لا صلاة لمن لا يصيب أنفه من الأرض ما يصيب الجبين. He used to say, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the prayer is not acceptable for the person whose nose does not touch as much of the ground as his forehead does. So this is really very serious. It means, you know, that the nose must come on the ground, otherwise the prayer could be invalidated. It is really very serious and very important that one presses with both these things against the ground. وَكَانَ يَطْمَئِنُّ فِي سُجُودِهِ. And he used to acquire serenity in his sujood, which means he does it, you know, in a way that he takes his time, he doesn't rush it. وَكَانَ يَطْمَئِنُّ فِي سُجُودِهِ وَيَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى ثَلَاثًا, saying سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى 3 times. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ أَنْوَاعًا مِنَ الْأَذْكَارِ وَالْأَدْعِيَةِ. And he also used to say different kinds of adiyah, supplications and adhkar. تَارَةً هَذَا وَتَارَةً هَذَا, sometimes this, sometimes that. And وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْإِجْتِهَادِ وَالْإِكْثَارِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ فِي هَذَا الرُّكْنِ. He used to command people, or recommend to them, to try to do as much dua and dhikr in this part of the prayer as they can, as possible. For instance, he said in sujood, yeah, while you are in sujood. Like for instance, he said, as salaamu rahmatullah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ فَقَمِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. Which means the servant is closest to his Lord during sujood. So say plenty of supplication in it, because then, it is likely that you will be answered, that your dua will be accepted. And there are many supplications, as you heard, that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say in sujood, and many adhkar, for instance, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, or Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghfirli. This he used to say especially towards the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Aisha radiallahu anha said, يَتَأَوَّلُ الْقُرْآنِ. يَتَأَوَّلُ الْقُرْآنِ means he was interpreting the Quran by actual action, because Allah told him, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, which means exalt the praises of your Lord and ask His forgiveness. Because He is all forgiving. So, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, he used to say that, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى وَبِحَمْدِ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي, because he says إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, so he used to ask him to forgive him. سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. So it is recommended to say this in sujood, one of the important adhkar of sujood. Another one which is a little longer is سجد وجهي للذي خلقه وصوره وشق سمعه وبصره فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. This also is what you of the adhkar that you find in صفات الصلاة, the Prophet's prayer described. And then there are many supplications such as for instance what he taught to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. This dua the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught it to Abu Bakr when he told him. Abu Bakr سأل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه ما أدعو في صلاتي أو في السجود, فعلمه هذا الدعاء, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. Oh Allah, I have inflicted a lot of wrong on myself. I have wronged myself tremendously. And no one, forgive these sins except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from you and accept my repentance. You are the all forgiving, the all merciful, or something to that meaning. Or you can simply say, the minimum to say is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 3 times, praise be to my Lord the highest 3 times. And note that we are saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, exalted is my Lord, the highest or the uppermost. We are saying this when we are in the lowest place, when we are in the lowest place that we can be, at the place of our feet. We have our forehead at the level of our feet. We are emphasizing that Allah is always the uppermost, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. That Allah is never low, even though we, the human beings, the creation, we can be as low as we are right now. And when we are in ruku', we say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, because ruku' is a situation of humbleness, of submission. Like when people are, the non-Muslims, are in front of a king or somebody great, they show their humbleness by bowing down, by lowering their bodies. So this is a sign of submission, of humility. And we say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, exalted is my Lord the Great. Which means He is never humbled by anyone. He is the one who humbles others, and He is never humbled. So that is when we remember His greatness. And so we see that the adhkar that we say are related or conform with the situation that we are in. As the Sahaba radiallahu anhum reported that when they were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they rose over a high place, in their travel, they were on top of a hill or something, they would say Takbir, Allahu Akbar. And when they go to a low place, a valley, يعني كنا إذا صعدنا على شرف كبرنا وإذا نزلنا واديا سبحنا. Why is that? Because the high places, the mountains, make the person feel great and high. I am so high now, I am on the top of the world. So don't think that because Allah is higher and greater, Allahu Akbar. So we remind ourselves that even if we think that we are great, Allah is greater. And when we are low in the valley, we find that we are in a low situation. But Allah is never low. He is exalted, always exalted, and above any weakness, above any indecency or weakness or anything like that. So we say Subhanallah when we are in a low place. Okay. So similar. I mean, it has to do with the situation as well. Yeah, just Subhanallah when we are. When they used to go in the valley, they say Sabahna, which means we say Subhanallah.
What about when you're declining?
As you are going down? doesn't say that. It says when we were in a valley, we say that. When we are in a high place, we say Allahu Akbar, takbir, takbarna. No, but if you find yourself falling down, then you say Subhanallah, because it's a situation of increased weakness or position. Allahu Akbar, weakness of position. ثم كان يرفع رأسه مكبرا ثم يفرش رجله اليسرى فيقعد عليها مطمئنا. Then after sujood, he would say Allahu Akbar, raise his head while he is saying Allahu Akbar. So Subhana Rabbi wal A'la, as we said, and he didn't mention it, but the sunnah is to spread your elbows as far as you can. And if you are praying in jama'ah, you cannot spread them too far, so as much as you can. But when the Prophet ﷺ prayed alone, the Sahaba say we used to feel sorry for him, for how much he, or feel pity for him, for how much he spread his elbows, because this makes him even more tired. They say that even if a small goat wanted to pass under his elbows, it could do it. So that's the sunnah. To spread your elbows with your fingers facing the direction of the Qibla, like this, and then when you raise your head, as you are raising it, you say Allahu Akbar, and then you sit on your left foot. You sit on your left foot and erect your right foot. Now, why is this posture done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Some scholars say that this is a posture of preparedness, which means the person is ready to go for the next. Whereas if a person sits in a different way, in a way of relaxed way, then it's not as easy for him to move to the next step. However, in sitting between the two sajdat, it is recommended sometimes to sit on both of your feet like this. And the Prophet ﷺ actually warned that people should not drop this practice of always, you know, sitting in different way, because it is also recommended sometimes to sit like this between the two, al-iqa' bayn as-sajdatayn. So it is recommended to make iqa' like this between the two sajdat, or sit in other ways if that is more convenient for the person sometimes. And if he sits like this, this is the posture that is most recommended or reported from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يَسْتَقْبِلُ بِأَصَابِعِهَا الْقِبْلَةِ. The faces, the toes would be facing the Qibla, of course. As you erect your foot like this, the toes will be facing the Qibla. Now there's one thing that I want to mention, even though we'll be getting to it later, but I'll mention it again at the end, because I see that some brothers do it in a very wrong way, which is the sitting at the end of the prayer, or the iftirash, that is done at the very end, which is to put your left foot under your body. You do not sit on it anymore. You sit on your behind, and you put your left foot underneath your right leg or shin. Now, this is only in the last rak'ah. Sometimes people do it in the middle, which is wrong. But another thing they do wrong is sometimes they lean too far to the left. So like they do it like this. They extend their foot so much, it hurts the one who's sitting next to them. And then they sit like this, like almost they are falling or sleeping. This is wrong. This is not the sunnah of it. The sunnah is that you do not take actually much extra space, very slightly. You lean very slightly to the left. And this is not showing from under your body. Your toes are still under your body. And then you put your hand like this, and the left hand holding to your knees. That's how it is reported at the end of the prayer, and we'll come back to it later. In the middle, during the rest of the prayer, the sitting is like this. You sit on your left foot, you erect this, and your hands, you put your hands on your thighs, facing with them the direction of the Qibla. Tawarruk, iftirash, all the time. No, except in the last rak'ah of the three or four rak'ah. Yeah, where you make the tawarruk. Wallahu alam. ثم يفرش رجله اليسرى فيقض عليها مطمئنا، وكان ينصب رجله اليمنى ويستقبل بأصابعها القبلة، وكان يقول: اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واجبرني وارفعني واهدني وعافني وارزقني. That is some of the supplication that you say between the two sajdat. You made sujood بين السجدتين. واحد بشو بيدعي مثلا؟ some of what you say is ربي اغفر لي ربي اغفر لي ربي اغفر لي. You can repeat ربي اغفر لي as many times as you want. اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واجبرني وارزقني. ربي اغفر لي. Well, let me read it from here because same thing.
ما بيدعي الوالد لولده ولولدته الواحد يعني.
لا بس مش بهذا الموضوع. ممكن يقول ربي اغفر لي والدي، يا ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ممكن ممكن، بس اللي ورد اكثر شيء في هذا الموضوع ربي اغفر لي وارحمني واجبرني. اجبرني
وبالوالدين احسانا يا شيخ.
اي نعم نعم.
الله يرحمهم. حي افضل من الميت، بس كمان لازم نرحم.
صحيح صحيح. بس يعني متى موضع الدعاء لهم؟ ممكن باخر الصلاه اللي هو دعاء مستجاب فيها يعني. ربي اغفر لي وارحمني واجبرني وارفعني واهدني وعافني وارزقني. This is some of what you say. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Between the two sajdat. ثم يكبر ويسجد السجدة الثانية كالأولى. Then he makes takbir and makes the sujood for the second sajda like the first one. ثم يرفع رأسه مكبرا. Then again he raises his head, saying Allahu Akbar at the same time. ثم يستوي قاعدا على رجله اليسرى معتدلا حتى يرجع كل عظم إلى موضعه. Again he sits like before. After the second sajda he sits as he sat between the two sajdat. ثم ينهض معتمدا على الأرض إلى الركعة الثانية وكان يصنع فيها مثل ما يصنع في الركعة الأولى إلا أنه كان يجعلها أقصر من الأولى. Then he gets up to the second rak'ah. Okay? Then he gets up to the second rak'ah depending on his hands as he gets up. So after the finishing the first rak'ah including the sujood, the second sajda, then he sits briefly and then he gets up to the second rak'ah. And getting up, the recorded practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is to get up depending on his hands. And depending on the hands, could be like this or could be like this. Now, there is a hadith which says when the Prophet ﷺ stood up, he made the action of ajn, which means, ajn, what's the ajn? When you play with the doll and kneading the doll. Like, salam wa rahmatullah.
Kneading,
yeah. Like kneading the doll. Now, some say this is how you need it, some say this is how you need it. So Allahu A'lam, the understanding. And some say the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this when he became very old. Because he couldn't get up without his hands. Allahu A'lam. But we are required to follow his guidance in the way we pray. And all we know is that he is dependent on his hands in the prayer. Yeah, it's not too old as... except in the last few days when he got very sick. Otherwise, he was in good health all his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allahu a'lam. But the way is to depend on the hands while rising to the second rak'ah. And then the second rak'ah goes exactly the same way as we described the first rak'ah, except that it is a little shorter. The second rak'ah is normally a little shorter than the first rak'ah. And... I stop here, then inshallah, what? So, we continue with our discussion of the prayer, the way to perform the prayer, Sifat al-Salah. And last time we finished a full rak'ah. We described how to pray a full rak'ah and get up to the second rak'ah. And one thing that somebody asked about and we mentioned but did not record, so just for that, for the benefit of that, is that during sujood the sunnah is to have your heels together with the heels touching each other, the feet touching each other and also the heels together. Okay, you know that, right? Okay, so the feet, يعني ترسل يرسل كعبين أو الكعبين. رسل الكعبين. يعني الصلاة بالسجود.
نعم.
يعني لما يسجد الإنسان يلصق رجليه ويرسل الكعبين بهذا الشكل. Okay. This is for sujood. So now we get up to the second rak'ah. هلا تعلم شو؟
لا لا بالفعل
ما. ما ما بيركز عليها صحيح.
تعلموك الصلاة
والسلام وهالأشياء هنا. فإذا الدعاء بين السجدتين كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ربي اغفر لي ربي اغفر لي. Among the du'a that you say between the two sajdat is Allah, my Lord, forgive me, my Lord, forgive me. Oh, Rabbi ighfirli warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni. Which includes a lot of good supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me and guide me. Wahdini wajburni. Wajburni means you know, literally means repair me, which means improve all of my affairs or correct all of my affairs. وَجْبُرْنِي وَعَافِنِي and give me well-being, وَرْزُقْنِي and provide or sustain me. رَبِّ اغْفِرْنِي وَرْحَمْنِي وَهْدِنِي وَجْبُرْنِي وَرْفَعْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَرْزُقْنِي. رفعني means raise me, elevate me. Okay. So in the second rak'ah we said you get up to the second rak'ah and وَكَانَ يَصْنَعُ فِيهَا مِثْلَ مَا يَصْنَعُ فِي الْأُولَى إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَجْعَلُهَا أَقْصَرَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. So the second rak'ah is like the first rak'ah except that it is shorter. We are still following the description of how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed. ثُمَّ كَانَ يَجْلِسُ لِلْتَشَهُدِ بَعْدَ الْفَرَاغِ مِنَ الرَّكْعَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ رَكْعَتَيْنِ جَلَسَ مُفْتَرِشًا كَمَا كَانَ يَجْلِسُ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ. Which means then he sits for tashahud after finishing the second rak'ah. And if the rak'ah is only two rak'ahs, then he sits muftarishan, which means sitting on his left foot as we described last time. Sitting on the left foot and erecting the right foot, standing or supporting it on his toes, if he can, of course. If people cannot do that, then they are, of course, excused. Like he sat between the two sajdat. We said that between the two sajdat, this is one of the ways to sit, and the other way is to make iqa'a, which means to sit on both of the, put the feet together and sit on them like this, between the two sajdat. وكذلك يجلس في التشهد الأول من الثلاثية والرباعية. And he also sits like that when the prayer is three or four rak'at, and in the first tashahud he sits in the same way. وكان إذا قعد في التشهد وضع كفه اليمنى على فخذه اليمنى وكفه اليسرى على فخذه اليسرى وكان يبسط اليسرى ويقبض اليمنى ويشير بالسبابة وَيَرْمِي بِبَصَرِهِ إِلَيْهَا. So when he sits between the two sajdat, he puts his right hand on the right thigh, left hand on the left thigh, and this is extended, this closed with pointing with the forefinger, or this is the index, right? The index finger. يشير بالسبابة ويرمي ببصره إليها. Looked at his index as he said his تشهد. وكان إذا وقع إذا رفع إصبعه يحركها ويدعو بها ويقول لا هي أشد على الشيطان من الحديد, يعني السبابة. And when he pointed with his finger like that and moved it, he said it is indeed stronger on shaitan than iron. This is against shaitan, stronger than iron. So that is why it is recommended to finger pointing forward towards the qibla and moving a slight motion up and down. Can be fast, that's okay, but it has to be slight motion, which means it is wrong to bring it down and then up. This is wrong. This is wrong. It should stay pointing forward, and if you move it, you move it slightly in the direction where it is pointing. That's about it. ثم كان يقرأ في كل ركعتين التحية. And in every two rak'at, that is in the tashahud of the two rak'at, he reads التحية. التحية means التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله, or something like that. وكان يصلي على نفسه. And he used to say salah on himself. في التشاهد الأول وغيره, which means he would say اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم, to the end of it. في العالمين أنك حميد مجيد. وشرع ذلك لأمته, and he legislated all of his أمة. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو في صلاته بأدعية متنوعة, and also used to make a number of different supplications in his prayer. ثم كان يسلم عن يمينه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وعن يساره كذلك, similarly on his left hand. وكان أحيانا يزيد في التسليمة الأولى وبركاته. Sometimes he would say when he turned right, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So he adds to that بركاته. And then on the left, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, so this is the description of the simplest description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, there will be some more things that will add to our understanding of the prayer, like the arkan, the pillars of the prayer, like the sunnah, the recommended things. First, the obligations of the prayer, and then the recommended things in the prayer. So once we cover all of that, then our picture of the prayer will be more complete, inshallah. أركان الصلاة للصلاة فرائد وأركان تتركب منها حقيقتها حتى إذا تخلف فرض منها لا تتحقق ولا يعتد به شرعا. There are obligations and there are pillars for the prayer that must be performed. And if one does not perform one of the required pillars of the prayer becomes invalid. And if the person intentionally also drops one of the obligations, then his prayer becomes invalid as well. What are the arkan, the pillars of the prayer? Arkan al-salah. أولاً تكبيرة الإحرام. عن علي رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مفتاح الصلاة الطهور وتحريمها التكبير وتحليلها التسليم. Which means he said the key to the prayer is طهور, which means wudu. And then تحريمها التكبير, it becomes prohibited, that is to do anything else other than the prayer, by saying Allahu Akbar, تكبيرة الإحرام, the beginning prayer, تكبير. وتحليلها التسليم, and its permission, which means it becomes permissible after finishing to do other things by saying تسليم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, that ends the prayer. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للمسيء صلاته إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فكبر. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was teaching a person who did not know how to pray, he said when you get up for prayer, then say Allahu Akbar. That is the first thing you start the prayer with, Kabbir. Second requirement for the prayer is Al-Qiyam fi al-Fard lil-Qadir alayh. Qala ta'ala wa qumu lillahi qanitin. Wa kana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli qa'ima wa amara bidhalika Imran ibn Husayn. Faqala lahu صلي قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب. So the second pillar is to stand in the prayer, to stand in the parts of course where one stands, and this is for the obligatory prayer. We will see about the sunnah prayer that it is not required or a pillar to stand. One is allowed to sit, he gets less reward. But for the obligatory prayer, one must stand if he can stand. If he cannot stand, then he is excused, of course. But if he can stand and he doesn't stand, sits and prays sitting, his prayer is unacceptable. Allah Azza wa Jalla commands, قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, stand to Allah with submission. And the Prophet ﷺ told Imran ibn Husayn, صَلِّ قَائِمًا, pray standing. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَائِمًا, if you cannot, then you sit. If you cannot, then you pray on your side. You lay on your side. So these are this is the sequence. And if a person can stand, then he must stand. The third pillar is قِرَاءَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ فِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةِ. عن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. وقد أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسيء صلاته بالقراءة ثم قال ثم افعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها. Which means it is to read الفاتحة in every ركعة, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told عبادة بن الصامت, there is no prayer, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, there is no prayer for the one who does not recite Al-Fatiha, Fatiha al-Kitab, the opening surah of the book. La Salah means the Salah is invalid if he doesn't do that. And he commanded the one who did not know how to pray by saying to read Al-Fatiha, and then he told him, do the same in all of your prayer. Then the next pillar is ruku'ah. Ruku'ah is a pillar of the prayer. One, the prayer is not complete or valid without ruku'ah. Al-ruku'ah wa tuma'ninatu fi, to make ruku'ah and to have tranquility in it, which means to do it and have a fixed posture, or a to remain in that posture long enough to take for the body, for the bones of the body, for the joints of the body, to take that position in a restful way before one moves to the next part. Allah Azza wa Jalla commands, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ruku'u wasjudu, O you who believe, make ruku' and sujood. And he said to the one who did not know how to pray, ثم ركع حتى تطمئن راكعا, then make ruku' until you attain the tranquility in that position of ruku'. And then the next pillars are to stand from ruku' and attain tranquility for the body, or the body rests in that position for a moment. الاعتدال بعد الركوع والطمأنينة فيه. Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari رضي الله عنه reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تجزئ صلاة لا يقيم الرجل فيها صلبه في الركوع والسجود. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسيء صلاته ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما. So this means that the prayer is not acceptable for the person who does not erect or make straight his body, his bones, in ruku' and sujood. And he told the person who did not pray, did not know how to pray, he said, ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما, then stand up until you attain your body becomes level in that standing position. Then the next pillars are to make sujood and attain tranquility in that posture. السجود والطمأنينة فيه لقوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا, the ayah that we cited a little earlier, and also the hadith to the one who did not know how to pray, ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا, then you make sujood until you attain tranquility in sujood. ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا, then you sit until you attain tranquility in that posture, then you make sujood again. And as we said before, that one must have all of his seven bones touching the ground for sujood to be correct. So if a person raises 1 foot, for example, during the whole sujood without reason, then his sujood is not acceptable. Or he raises his nose, he doesn't touch his nose to the ground, then his sujood is not complete and the prayer is not acceptable. So one must sit or come down on the seven bones that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, which are what? What are the seven bones?
The knees, the palms, the feet, the forehead.
Forehead and the nose as one part, exactly. طيب. So well, you know, and if there's one part of your body that you cannot touch it to the ground for a correct excuse, then of course, I mean, that is excused, like a person's nose hurts or forehead hurts or one of his hands or one of his feet or one of his knees, then of course is excused, like the wahad عامل عملية بإجره ما في ما في ركبته
مزبوط
نفس الشيء
بيقعد هو قاعد.
Okay, he's saying that our religion is easy, it's not to be made hard on us. Okay, then the next pillars is to sit between the two sajdat and to attain tranquility also in that posture. And then the last pillar is the tashahud, the final tashahud. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Kunna qabla an yufrada alayna at-tashahud, as-salamu ala Allah, kunna naqul as-salamu ala Allah, as-salamu ala Jibril wa Mikail, faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la taqulu hakadha, walakin qulu at-tahiyyatu lillahi wal mubarakatu wa salawat, as-salamu ala an-nabi alayka ayyuha an-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin." أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. And this is the most authentic reports of tashahud is that reported by Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. He said علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التشاهد كفي بين كفي, which means he taught me tashahud with my palm between his two palms. They were sitting next to each other and he was holding his palm with both his hands. كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنِي السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, like he would teach me a surah from the Quran. So what is it? التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَوَاتُ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, which means التحيات, the greetings belong to Allah, and the salawat, the prayers, and the good things, طيبات, peace be upon you, O Prophet, and Allah's mercy and His blessings, and peace be upon us and the rest of Allah's righteous servants. I testify that there is no God worthy of being worshipped but Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. So this is a rukun or a pillar of the prayer, and the prayer does not stand without it. So that makes a total of 12 pillars for the prayer. 12 pillars, if anybody drops one of them, he must make it up or his prayer immediately, or his prayer is invalid. What are the pillars? Takbirat al-Ihram, standing, reading al-Fatiha, making ruku'a, itma'nan in ruku'a, standing up from ruku'a, itma'nan in that standing, making sujood, itma'nan in the sujood, sitting between the two sajdat, itma'nan in that sujood, and tashahud. That's 12 pillars for the prayer. Another important thing is that As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar said in Fath al-Bari, قد ورد في بعض طرق حديث ابن مسعود هذا ما يقتضي المغايرة بين زمانه صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقال بلفظ الخطاب، وأما بعده فيقال بلفظ الغيبة. ففي الاستئذان من صحيح البخاري من طريق أبي معمر عن ابن مسعود بعد أن ساق حديث التشهد قال وهو بين ظهرانينا فلما قبض قلنا السلام، يعني على النبي، كذا وقع في البخاري. يعني instead of saying السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، that was Ibn Mas'ud saying when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive. أيها النبي means O Prophet. But after he died, we started saying السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon the Prophet and Allah's mercy and his blessings. Because he was not in front of them anymore. كذا وقع في البخاري وأخرجه أبو عوان في صحيحه والسراج والجوزفي وأبو نعيم الأصبهاني والبيهقي with different narrations of the same hadith that are all authentic. And similarly عطاء reported one of the tabi'in that the sahaba used to say during the lifetime of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليك أيها النبي فلما مات قالوا السلام على النبي، وهذا إسناد صحيح. After he died they said السلام على النبي، peace be upon the Prophet. الألباني رحمه الله said in صفة الصلاة the Prophet's prayer described لا بد أن يكون ذلك بتوقيف منه، ويؤيده أن عائشة رضي الله عنها كذلك كانت تعلمهم التشهد في الصلاة السلام على النبي. He said this must be something that he taught them صلى الله عليه وسلم. Otherwise they would not add or change anything in the prayer without permission from him. And also this is supported by the fact that Aisha used to teach them tashahud in the prayer by saying Al-Nabi, peace be upon the Prophet and not upon you O Prophet. This is the 12 pillars. Okay, there are two more actually that we need to mention. That makes a total of 14 pillars, and you probably can guess them because we stopped at tashahud. And after tashahud what comes? After tashahud before the dua you say salah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is also a pillar, as-salatu ala nabi ba'da at-tashahhud al-akhir لحديث فضالة بن عبيد الأنصاري أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا يصلي لم يحمد الله ولم يمجده ولم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وانصرف، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجل هذا، فدعاه وقال له ولغيره إذا صلى أحدكم فليبدأ بتمجيد ربه والثناء عليه وليصلي على النبي ثم يدعو بما شاء. This is authentic from Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man praying and he did not praise Allah or glorify him or say the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this man was rushed or prayed too fast, which means too fast in a way that is not acceptable. And then he called him and told him and the others around him that when one of you prays, let him start by glorifying his Lord and praising him, and then say the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then make dua with whatever he wants. And the tamjid or the praise and glorification of Allah azza wa jal is accomplished by saying at-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat, or at-tahiyyatu mubarakatu wa salawatu wa tayyibatu lillah, or something with that meaning. And the rest of it is part of it. So this is part of the tashahud that we said it is a pillar. And also Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said أقبل رجل حتى جلس بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن عنده فقال يا رسول الله أما السلام عليك فقد عرفناه فكيف نصلي عليك إذا نحن صلينا عليك في صلواتنا صلى الله عليك. قال فصمت حتى أحببنا أن الرجل لم يسأله. Which means Al-Masud Al-Ansari also reported that a man came until he sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while we were with him, and he said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, as for salam, peace, saying the peace on you, we know how it is," which means in the tashahud, "Assalamu alayna, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi," or "Assalamu ala nabi," right? So we know this, peace be upon you. But as for salah, how do we say salah on you? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima." O you who believe, say salah and a lot of salam on him, on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how do we do that? He said, he remained silent. He said, "So how do we say salah on you?" And during our prayers, "May Allah have his salah on you," he said. So Rasulullah ﷺ remained silent until we wished that the man did not ask him, which means they were afraid that that was offensive to the Prophet ﷺ, or that he disliked it. So they thought maybe the man should not have asked this question. But then he said, "إِذَا صَلَّيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ فَقُولْ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ." To the end of this hadith. He told him, then he answered by saying, "When you say salah on me in the prayer, say, O Allah, salli ala Muhammad, have your salah upon Muhammad, the illiterate prophet, and the family of Muhammad, to the end of it." This is one of the various reports that are narrated by about the salah. And this hadith is Hassan. I believe it is in Ibn Khuzaymah, if I understand the symbol here. Yeah, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. And the best way to say salah upon the Prophet ﷺ is that which is reported by Ka'b bin Ujrah. He said, "قلنا يا رسول الله قد علمنا أو عرفنا كيف السلام عليك." فكيف الصلاة؟ Similarly, they said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, we know how to say salam on you, but how do we say salah on you?" He said, "قولوا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى